Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's UFC 261 title fight with 26-1 odds on either fighter to win. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $5 into $135 if the title contender of your choice wins. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $5 into $135. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, want help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Hayden Wallen, Draven Fine. Cam's on his way, I believe. Said his driver backed into a ditch coming out of the driveway. So that's just awkward because then you got to sit there and wait with the driver.
But yeah.
Like, hey, man, I'm going to cancel this and get a different ride. Like, are you cool?
What do you say? Like, it just, like, when it initially happens, what's your response like?
I've never been in an accident with an Uber.
Okay.
But I'd imagine what I would do is be like, hey, man, I hate it for you.
But
I'm going to just go ahead and cancel this. We'll file a report. I hope I get my money back. Really hate this happened to you, but I'm gonna call one of your colleagues to come pick me up. Yeah. I'm gonna go with Lyft this time. I'm gonna go with Lyft.
No offense to you or anything.
Yeah. I'm just gonna. You good? You need anything? All right. Now, if it's a multi-car crash, you're like, do you need me as a witness? Or
yeah,
I'm gonna walk right over here to a store and settle up for a little bit. So yeah, Cam should be here anytime. Hayden, how are you?
Pretty good, John.
The verbal thumbs up. We love to hear it. Happy to see your smiling face, as Chance Collins said. You bring joy to people when you walk into a room.
He does.
Even though you're
Ray
kind
of sunshine.
Even though you're kind of Eeyore. You still bring joy to people.
I dressed up as Eeyore for Halloween 2 times.
That doesn't
surprise
me.
2 times? Wow.
Yeah.
I believe we talked about it. You were supposed to dress up like it for this year, but didn't. For the show, but it's fine.
I thought we were doing The Sopranos.
We couldn't come together. You said you had. I remember the whole thing. That you had a secret costume. You wouldn't tell us what it was, and then you just didn't wear it. I don't know if you remember that.
It wasn't Eeyore, though.
No, I know, but we don't know what it was. It was a surprise, and then you never showed us.
Y'all know what it was.
Yeah, I think he did tell us at one point.
Yeah, I did tell you right there in the office.
Papa Incredible.
No.
I don't remember. That was what was in my head.
It was...
Either way, I don't really...
Okay, I'm not saying
it. That's fine. Yeah. Save it for next year.
There you go.
We're basically halfway... We're at the halfway point between, last Halloween and this Halloween. We're getting close.
Wow.
Only 6 months to Halloween, boys.
Isn't that just insane?
Begin the countdown. Jeez. Draven, you good today?
Yeah. Doing good, John. Was up and early. Up and at 'em this morning.
Okay.
Had a little test on campus. You know, it was crazy. I was on campus for the first time in months. This is just kind of weird. Never go anymore with all this online stuff. It was kind of like, had to, take an extra little 30 minutes, walk around, appreciate it a little bit more. Never, don't get to see it as much.
You didn't know what you had until it was gone, huh?
Exactly. Exactly.
Was the parking somehow still bad over on campus?
No. It's not terrible.
Okay.
Not terrible. Surprisingly.
All right. I'm not doing so well today.
What's wrong with you?
My left foot's a little sore. Went on a run yesterday, not to brag.
Bragging.
Left foot feeling a little sore today. And then my Hawks. That was a bad. I took that one on the chin last night. That one hurt me. That one reminded me how much I hate sports. last night I was sitting there just angry. I was like, yeah, I forget. Because, you know, it's been a while since I've been, like, emotionally invested in something. You know, the Titans losing 3 months ago. The Titans losing in the playoffs. That one hurt. That one made me mad. But since then, I haven't really had anything. I mean, like, the Oregon State game for the basketball Vols, that didn't do much for me in the sense of, like, anguish and pain. Right? Wasn't that invested in that team. I thought, okay, maybe they win Oregon State, but they're probably not going to beat Oklahoma State, which they might have, but that one didn't gut me as much. Maybe the Alabama game, maybe a little bit. But for some reason last night, I just, 10-point lead, biggest game of the year, then all of a sudden Trey gets hurt, and I'm just like, oh, Trey Young. He's writhing around. You can hear him screaming on the broadcast. I'm like, yeah. He shattered his ankle. Is that an ACL? What the hell's going on here?
It looked bad.
And then we blow a 10-point lead. Then we come back at the fourth quarter and bogey. I mean, just a clutch shot to get into overtime.
That was a tough shot. I'll give him that. A little corner three. That's a tough shot.
Just a little catch and release, yep. Just real quick. And then get to overtime and just get dominated in overtime. Now I got to deal with Knicks fans on the timeline, act like they just won a championship, which is good for them. Good for them.
Fans acting like they won a championship. See, the fans just going wild.
Yeah.
Man. But yeah, you're right. Like, they needed this, man. If any fan base needed it, it was Knicks fans.
Julius Randle also acts like they won a championship. He made the dreaded mistake. You don't want to go with Sam Ehlinger. And he went to Sam Ehlinger last night and just said, hey, Knicks fans, we're back.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Just check out that schedule that you have coming up, Julius, in the month of May. Just check out that schedule coming up in the month of May before you start talking about being back. You beat the Hawks. Congrats. You were down 10 when Trey got hurt. You're the 4 seed now, about half a game. You did sweep the Hawks. Now, 2 of those were with Lloyd Pierce. We don't count those. But when you get to May, and I know Houston sucks, but at Houston, at Memphis, at Denver, at Phoenix, at Clippers, at Lakers.
Oof. Phoenix twice. They got to play Phoenix a couple days.
Yeah, I was just looking at the road trip. Yeah, Toronto on Saturday. Then, yeah, Phoenix on Monday. So, really, you only have a couple more layups available. That road game, that road stretch that you're about to have, like I said, at Houston, who's easy, but whatever. At Memphis, at Denver, at Phoenix, at Clippers, at Lakers. Maybe pump the brakes a little bit on being back. Maybe get through that stretch before. Because I still think you're going to end up in a play-in game. So I was mad, but good for them. They're happy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take away from their joy, whatever. I'm not going to be like, oh, you're celebrating a regular season game, because I've been celebrating regular season games. I thought it was a big game last night. Good for them. Now, I would say, like, maybe, you know, acknowledge that, you know, Trey got hurt and you guys are getting beat whenever he got hurt, but whatever.
Come on. Don't take away from it.
DeAndre Hunter's hurt. I mean, John Collins on a minute restriction. I mean, like, all those things. That's fine. Congrats to the Knicks. You know, you said, what, won 8 in a row? Yeah. And have covered how many games in a row? 11?
11. Covered 11 games in a row.
Basically, the entire month of April, they have not failed to cover a spread.
Yep. And the highest since 2005 was 15, which was your Atlanta Hawks. Doesn't say the year, but it did say.
What's this, the highest since 2005?
Yes.
Or second highest since 2005?
It was well, I'm saying the Hawks, 15 was the highest, yeah. 15 games covered in a row. Yeah.
Okay, so the Hawks have the highest since 2005.
Yeah, assuming it's that year, we won the entire month of.
It would be the month we swept January if I was guessing.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, where we just went undefeated in that month, and then all 5 guys made the All-Star team, which is kind of a farce, but either way.
All 5 guys did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Or was it 4? Was it 4 or all 5?
I was about to say, that was Millsap, Corver,
Horford, and Teague. Maybe Carroll didn't make it. Maybe it was just 4.
Yeah, I think Carroll didn't make it.
Because Teague did make it, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe it was just 4. But congrats to the Knicks, and like I said, I don't want to take away from their joy. It's more just about I was reintroduced to pain. It's a nice refresher. Like I said, I hadn't felt that since the Titans got eliminated by the Ravens at the beginning of January. So I made almost three and a half months being just a casual, happy sports fan. And then last night I was just sitting there just mad. Then I got people texting me who aren't even Knicks fans, acting like Knicks fans. I'm like, oh my God, leave me alone. Did you watch the game?
They were coming out the woodworks.
I avoided shooting you guys a text, too.
I appreciate it.
You know, Trey's injury. I did see that. I saw the injury.
I appreciate that.
You know.
I appreciate that. Thank you for because I get mad whenever they lose, like, to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But usually I can laugh it off. I'm like, okay, it's not that big of a deal. But last night made me mad, but it was more so because of the injury, too. Because I'm just like, we got the biggest stretch of the season coming up.
I was going to ask, like, what's this next week going to look like? Let's see.
It's going to be tough. We got the Heat. I mean, the Heat game is huge on Friday, too. Yeah. And now, you know, I don't know if you guys saw, but Clint Capella – he hurt his back.
God, he was a beast too. 25 and 22.
Yeah, but he took a spill. He took a spill at the end of regulation and had to come out and shoot free throws. And I mean, credit to him, he finished the game. But I feel like once that adrenaline wore off, like I'd be surprised if he played on Friday.
He limped off the court at the end of the game.
He was hurting. Yeah, he was on the court for like a minute, like laying on there, and then like they had to call a timeout, and then like you know he came out and shot the free throws. That way he didn't have to like leave the game. But yeah, so I mean, like we're getting ready to play the Heat. We're trying to stay ahead of, and then they got the Bucks on Sunday, and
back to back at Philly too. Oof.
Yeah, no, it's the toughest stretch. Like I feel like we're about to go on like a 4-game losing streak here, and that's tough. Like all the whole season of work we just did is about to unravel, and you guys can talk about injuries and injuries. No excuse. Shut up. I'm using that as an excuse right now.
Not an excuse, John.
It is when your whole damn starting lineup's hurt.
Yeah, we're like crossing our fingers that Chris Dunn's coming back.
And please know, I'm not listening to any slander from Hayden, who has proven himself all year he's not a real fan. Please know I'm not listening to any slander from Hayden.
Yeah, he didn't even know they were playing last night.
Yeah, he didn't even know they were playing.
Yeah, I didn't know they were playing last night.
So please know I'm not listening to any slander from you.
I'm just waiting for the playoffs, John, because I know that's when the Heat performed the best.
No.
Playoff team.
The Heat performed best in the playoffs. They've made... How many times they won since LeBron left? Just last year in a bubble when it was all weird? And, like, a rookie could, like, play out of his mind in Tyler Hero. We saw what happened to Tyler Hero whenever, like, they got out of the bubble. He's been trashed this year.
20 points last night.
How much do you think the Heat regret not trading Tyler Hero for James Harden? They're like, hey, no, you can't have Tyler Hero. If you want James Harden, no. Tyler Hero's untouchable. Talk about your all-time mistakes there.
Oof.
James Harden's not even playing right now, is he?
Who?
Is James Harden still out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's out.
Oh, well.
You'd still rather have James Harden than Tyler Hero.
Not if he's not available, John.
I would take half a season of James Harden over a full season of Tyler Hero.
Yeah. With the possibility of him being there
James
in the playoffs.
Harden just doesn't fit with this whole melting pot we got.
Neither does Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero's giving you off the court stuff that's making the Heat mad, and he's not as good.
He did have 22 last 22 night, 8 for 13.
Who'd they play? The Spurs. That's a good win. That was a big win.
One by 20.
One by 20.
Yeah, blowout.
You didn't even know they're playing. Shut up. I'm not listening to any slander from you. So don't say they're really doing John injuries. At a certain point, you just hit the tipping point. That's what I'm sad about. So be more like Draven. Why can't you be more like Draven, Hayden? Show some class. Show some respect. Draven's not sitting here twisting the knife, rubbing it, and he acknowledges at some point.
Well, y'all been whining about DeAndre Hunter all year, too.
Well, yeah, but now Clint Capella and Trae Young are added to that, and those are pretty important pieces, okay?
I mean, there's no point in whining about DeAndre Hunter if he's not going to play at all.
When's the last time I've whined about DeAndre Hunter?
You just did.
No, I didn't. You said you brought up DeAndre Hunter.
He did. Somebody said DeAndre Hunter just recently.
I didn't mention him today.
Neither one of us mentioned DeAndre Hunter.
Our starting lineup's out.
I said I mean, everybody except John Collins is going to be out. Yes, that is correct.
And he's on the minute restriction.
That's just a fact. It's not whining. I didn't mention DeAndre Hunter. I mean, at one point I said, you know, you can't have all three of those guys. I need one of them back. And Bogey got back and we started winning. And I haven't brought up DeAndre Hunter since then, really. And I don't even want to make it a Hawks thing. It's about my sports misery. Because, like I said, other people who listen, there's probably, 3% of the audience cares about the Hawks. The other two could probably tolerate it because it gets you guys going.
Yeah.
It's more about sports misery and just having the sports demon monster grab you. Ugh, he's friends with the sleep monster. You don't want to.
Scary.
Yeah, he's friends with the sleep demon. You don't want the sports demon monster to get you. The sports pain and agony. And that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, he was about to grab me because I thought it was a knee at first, and I was just like, no.
Yeah, I thought it was an ACL, and then I thought it might have been a broken foot the way he was screaming.
Yeah.
Kind of soft of Trey to be screaming just for a sprained ankle like that. Although sprained ankles hurt, like. When Draven sprained his ankle, he was crying on the floor. Why?
That is not true. I handled that like a man, John. What are you talking about? A lot better than Trey did.
I love it.
Sitting on the floor crying. I was just like, you know? Like, just like a little eye, and then I walked it off.
John, get me. Can you carry me? John, help me.
Wow.
Because he didn't know anybody else. Like, John, can you help me? Can you help me?
You really got a lot of
everybody just turns
like
and
this.
Looks at John, and he's like,
No, then two plays later, I sprained myself, and I was on the floor,
too. No. You didn't sprain yourself, buddy. You got your ankles broke.
I sprained my ankle myself. Not.
I wish you guys were there. I wish I had it videoed. I should have had the phone ready.
I do too.
Because, man.
I do too.
I've never seen anybody get broke that bad. Really.
Okay.
Really, though.
Okay. What was? Can you explain the move that broke me down?
I should ask you.
I want to hear the move that you said I got broke down. A strong dribble to the left, and I trip over somebody's foot going. Like, that was the move. That was the one. My ankle broke.
He crossed you up.
No, he didn't cross over. He just dribbled straight to the left. And I tripped over somebody's foot. I stepped on somebody's foot.
Tripped over somebody's foot.
I stepped on somebody's
how about, foot. How about that excuse? Don't you guys hate that
isn't
one?
That excuse tripped you made? Over. Is it, didn't you say you landed on somebody's foot when you twisted your ankle?
I got Zazod. We had this conversation.
So what's the difference?
I got Zazod.
What's the difference between me saying I tripped over somebody's foot and you landing on somebody's foot?
Because you were playing defense. You ended up on the turf. The guy's going in for a layup. You got broke. Me, I'm coming down from a rebound.
And that
completely
makes it better?
Different situation.
That makes it better that you
coming down from a rebound, you don't know what's going on, man. You don't know what's underneath you. In fact, it should be more on the other players to say, hey, he's already got the board, man. Play's over. Let him have it. I'm going to step away, not be directly underneath him, whoever that was. No. Zaza Pachulia out there. No. Trying to hurt the star player.
The last pick. We got to wait to sit out the game before a star player.
I was new, okay? I was the new guy.
The star player. We watched it in warm-ups like, ah, you got next, buddy. You can get next. But yes, Cam, I agree. A little bit of a sigh of relief because I did also think it was a knee.
Yeah.
But again, it was more like, ah! That's Trey screaming. I was like, what is happening here? But congrats to the Knicks. Their eighth straight win. They're the four seed for now. I'm just more worried about, like I said, my sports misery is back. It hurts. It hurt last night. It did. Welcome back to darkness.
How many games up are they on the 16? Was it Celtics?
Just a half game.
Oof.
Tied in the loss column.
It's close, yeah.
Celtics play the Suns tonight, I believe.
Ooh.
But, I mean, again, we play the Heat on Friday, and if we got our whole damn starting lineup out, besides Collins, like, that's going to be a tough win. Really, if just Capella's out, it's going to be a tough win. You know, if Capella plays and Trey's out for a couple games, I'll be like, okay, well, if we just next man up. But if both of them are out, it's going to be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But oh well, such is life. So we might be hanging out in the play-in game soon. It's tough. Tough scene. Whole season of work just down the drain.
Mm. How quickly they changed their tune, Draven.
I know.
Like I said, I'm not listening to Hayden. I don't respect anything Hayden says at all. He has proven himself to not be a fan, so I'm not listening to any talk from him.
You still got a couple weeks to the playoffs. You still got time.
Well, it depends. I want to see what the ankle is first. But I mean, like, LeBron's been out for an ankle for, you know, almost seven weeks now.
LeBron's, he's out there shooting his movie. He's out in Hollywood hanging out. Basketball ain't priorities right now for him.
Yeah. He may need to get back on the court to get himself out of these crosshairs after he took to social media yesterday. We'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks. Jamie here.
Back on the program. Yep, LeBron James, I think, needs to get back on the court. It's a bad look for him yesterday, or I guess 2 days ago. He's been in the storm really for the last, 36 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Since the Derek Chauvin verdict was read. Then we had another shooting. But one that I think body camera footage, you know, justifies. At least, you know, you're not going to be on the right side arguing against this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can say, well, what, you know, this is what a taser's for, or tackle, or, you know, try to stop the situation from escalating before, blah, blah, blah. But, like, that one's one that people will see the footage of, and, like, you're going to be like, okay, yeah, no, that's a justified shooting. Again, you'll have some people that say, well, why did it get to that, or can we stop it from getting there? And I'll understand that, but I would think there's a group of people that will come together and be like, okay, nope, this one's fine. That one's not going to have, like, when you had the situation with George Floyd in Minneapolis, like, I mean, like, it was, 90-10 at most? Like, 90% of people could look at that and be like, okay, that's murder.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe even more than that. You watch this one, and this is going to be one of those, like, well, there's some nuance here, or no, completely justified. And LeBron tweeted out a picture of a cop and just said, you're next, hashtag accountability. Which, I mean, you're next. You know, you could perceive that as like, hey, you're inciting violence on this guy, like your next type of thing. Like, oh, you just killed somebody, now you're next. Or it could be like, hey, you're the next cop that's going to be, you know, brought to justice. I'm sure that's what LeBron was trying to get after. But you know, you see your next, you think of Goldberg. You think of your next to die. Like there's a whole bunch of different things. You're doxing. You're putting this cop out here, and you have a huge platform if you're LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
So people are like, "Hey, this ain't it. This ain't it. This is bad." And then LeBron tries to delete the tweet and backpedal.
Blame it on everybody else.
Blame it on everybody else.
That's what I got out of it. I mean, it's just like the people who saw the tweet. It was their fault for making it like that. He didn't mean it like that, or whatever.
Where did you get that out of what he said?
Well, if you can read the tweet again, but it was.
Well, here's the two tweets I got. I don't know if there was something else I missed, but anger, all caps. Does any of us any good? And that includes myself. I assume he meant doesn't do any of us any good. Gathering all the facts and educating does, though. My anger still is here for what happened to that little girl. My sympathy for her family, and may justice prevail. I'm so damn tired of seeing black people killed by police. I took the tweet down because it's being used to create more hate. This isn't about one officer. It's about the entire system, and they always use our words to create more racism. I am so desperate for more, all caps, accountability.
I was referring to like it's being used to create more hate.
Okay.
Like, I don't really understand, like,
yeah.
It's like his tweet.
Well, I mean, if you read the replies to that, I mean, there was hate to it. I mean, like, when you're LeBron, like, you have alienated a big group of people. And, like, LeBron has brought a lot of this on himself because of people perceiving that he might not be genuine.
Yeah,
when you talk about justice and equality, and then you are telling people not to speak on China and Hong Kong, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're telling Daryl Morey not to comment on things, and then you go back to your thing, and you know, there's another quote where he's arguing with Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and he tells Zlatan, "I'm not the one to come at because I do my homework." And in this instance, LeBron, you clearly didn't do your homework, and like you know, that's what there was hate there, like whether or not it was justified, you know, telling LeBron, "Hey, you're a dumbass." Like, hey, LeBron, like, watch the video. Hey, LeBron, this is just race baiting, blah, blah. Like, whether or not you agree with those things, I think you can say that, you know, the replies and the threads were hateful on both sides of people arguing. Now, I do think, like, this is lacking an apology from LeBron. So if you want to say he's, like, blaming other people because he's not, like, blaming himself for maybe not doing the homework, because I think this was an instance where social media was bad at first. Does more harm than good whenever you see the headlines right after the verdict is read and, you know, Derek Chauvin is found guilty on all three counts. That is then followed up immediately with another shooting where it looks like the police have killed a black girl. And then you have some news cases calling her a woman. Well, she's not a woman. She's like 15, and people are arguing about that. And then there's even more of the code there where, you know, you've had instances where, you know, the white guy that was marching through Wisconsin, what was his name? The one with the gun.
Rittenhouse.
Yeah. Like where he's getting described as a 17-year-old kid as he's, you know, walking through, yeah, with like an assault rifle or whatever, an AK, whatever he had, AR-15. And like, you know, some places in the media are calling him a kid, and then you got this 16-year-old you're calling a grown adult, like a woman. And like, there's more code there, and people are arguing about back and forth than that. Mm-hmm. But like, LeBron saw the headlines, and I'll admit, like, I saw him too. I think we all saw him, and you're like, oh, well, this isn't good.
Yeah.
Because it was laid out as this girl caused the cops to try to stop a dispute, right? Like, that was the early narrative of like, this girl was the one that called the cops because people were at her house trying to, you know, fight. She called the cops. She ends up getting killed by the cops. Oh, no. What happened? Yeah. And, like, admit, same thing happened here. You read that, and you assume the worst with the way it's laid out. And then the video comes out, and you see the stills of her having a knife, getting ready to swing it at someone else. And I feel like as a cop, you don't really have much left to do at that point. Once you get to the point where someone has a knife and is getting ready to slash someone else. Again, you can argue, and I wasn't there. I haven't seen the whole video of whether or not it could have been stopped prior to that.
Yeah.
Like, if the cops could get there, and can you not break up a fight of four girls? Like, can you not, like, can you not stop that situation? Like, that's fair. I haven't seen the video, so if you have that take, if you've seen more than I have, that's fine. But, like, the actual still shot of the girl swinging the knife, like, and then the cop shooting her, like, that seems like the wrong time to really, like, you know, come out and say this cop is doing something drastically bad.
Yeah.
and posting him and with a, just the, you know, kind of a you know, creepy or just a, I'm lacking the word I'm looking for, but just a sad, just like you're next type of thing with just that picture. Mm. I mean, it's just. So, like, I will say, Hayden, that you're right. LeBron, you know, as he's blaming people for having hate, I do think
that was caused by his tweet. That was my problem. Like, it just seems like the hate kind of emanated from his tweet originally with "you're next," well, and then he's accusing people of using his tweet to have more hate. I'm like, you kind of just started this.
I mean, he did start it, but I'm not going to blame him for feeling a certain type of way about it because, like I said, whenever the story first came out, it was, oh, you know. I think a lot of people had that initial reaction of, oh, here we go again. And I'm not going to tell LeBron James that he can't feel a certain type of way about it, but I will say LeBron has to have a better use of his platform. And especially if you're going to come out here and say you're educated and you like do your research and do your homework, because pretty quickly following, you know, we had the body cam footage, right? Like quickly following. Like, it was like, well, actually, no, this wasn't that bad. I want to say like within like a couple hours of the story breaking, like we had a, well, here's the truth of what happened.
Like, yeah, he could have came out and been like, hey, we need to do better, you know, figure out how to de-escalate stuff before it gets to that point, or, you know, like, try with a taser first or something like that. He could have been like, hey, there's things we can, you know, do better here. But I don't know if attacking the guy almost straight up just is the way to go in this kind of stuff. It just creates more divide. And
you're LeBron James. You have to be better. You have to... just wait a little bit and get more. And then when you do get it, like deleting the tweet isn't good enough and then putting this up, you could say you're sorry and you could own it. And I don't think he did that in either one of these messages. And again, this isn't the George Floyd, Derek Chauvin situation. That one felt like a slam dunk. That one felt like, I said, you watch the video, you read the reports, 9.5 minutes, knee on somebody's neck. You watch him slowly choke out and die as he's calling for his mother. That one felt like this is clearly murder.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to upset anybody with that. I would hope that everyone could kind of come and agree with that, or at least 90% of you could. It's very rarely the case, though, in these police shootings. It's very rarely that cut and dry. And LeBron, I guess, was feeling a heat check coming off of the Chauvin verdict that he thought he was going to have, you know, roll into this other one, and it's like it usually is a lot trickier. So, yeah, the Lakers need LeBron back on the court.
Yeah.
Both as they try to, you know, get their playoff seeding and also, like, to get the headlines back to LeBron James being good at basketball. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
If you own a business or have a website, you need hosting. It's the only thing keeping your website running. Smarter Searches is a local marketing agency offering blazing fast website hosting for your website. Most companies charge fees for every possible feature, confuse you with multiple tiers and packages, and loads of unnecessary add-ons. Smarter Searches has a smarter approach. One set price that includes fast website hosting, SSL certificates, daily backups, and 24/7 support on a dedicated server. It's reliable, it's easy, it's smarter. Visit SmarterSearches.com for...
This segment is brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, you're going to want the best legal representation. You're going to want somebody with experience, someone who knows the area, someone who cares about you, and someone who's going to try to get you money. That's the G3 Help Me team. Go to g3helpme.com or call them at 865-558-8030. The Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III has been serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. A week away from the NFL draft. Have we seen recently, by the way, like, has anyone done like any like 7-round mocks? Have we got people? I'm asking just because, like, where are the Vols going? Are any Vols going? I mean, I assume Trey Smith is still going to get drafted. But again, I read a 3-round mock draft yesterday, and, you know, he wasn't in there.
A lot of the big names don't do 7-round mock drafts.
Right.
You get a lot of, like, you know, people kind of just think they know the draft stuff that we'll do and put them out on, like, I've seen a few on Reddit, stuff like that. I can go check some and see if I see anything about the Vols, where they're kind of projected right now, but haven't been a ton that come out. You'll get a lot of, like, individual, like, somebody from, like, a team page will do, like, that team-specific seven-round mock draft, but a lot of them don't put together the whole...
Sure. Well, see, I mean, like, do we know, like, who are there any other Tennessee? I mean, Palmer, I guess.
Yeah.
Has got some love, but I didn't see him in the three-round mock. ESPN did it either. So just check him.
Yeah, he'll definitely get drafted, of course. I don't think there's really a question on that.
Either way, see what you can find throughout the show.
Yep.
We're a week away from the NFL draft, and now you've got... I guess what we have. We have scouts, NFL executives, coaches, all doing the anonymous, we're going to talk about people think.
Yeah, they did it. They did it for there's about 13 quarterbacks that are in the considered draftable, I guess, at this point.
Okay.
And a guy on NFL.com basically, he does this every year. It's always a good read because it really gives you some insight of like how people think about these quarterbacks. And, you know, the weaknesses, strengths, what they like about them, what they hate about them, stuff like that. And he did that again this year and broke down about 13 quarterbacks. It's really funny. Jamie Newman's number 13 on that list.
Really? I still can't get over them trying to make Jamie Newman a first-round pick just when he transferred to Georgia.
Yeah, I know. It's absurd.
He was the Heisman good. Winner.
Yeah.
He was going to be the Heisman winner, John.
Yeah. This one I found has Josh Palmer in the fifth round.
CBS? I saw one CBS had him early fifth round.
Now, this is just some random guys I found, but he'll probably be somewhere around there. I could see him getting in the fourth or something like that, depending on if there's a team that really likes him. Mm-hmm. But
I still ain't forgot whenever the media all of a sudden Jamie Newman was a first round pick.
No, which was absurd at the time, too, but...
And now you say he's a 13th quarterback ranked in this class?
They have him listed as 7th rounder or priority free agent.
Why is he not going back to school, by the way? Why is he leaving?
He already went through the Senior Bowl process and everything.
But
so,
why did he do that?
That's one of the things that like he mentions in this article that like people question like it was a questionable decision to opt out after getting beat out at Georgia.
So I guess like he just not like go to school and like stay in classes so he like wouldn't be academically eligible at this point.
Probably.
Is that maybe it?
That's probably it.
I don't know. He was a grad transfer from Wake Forest though. So
right,
really
but this year of eligibility didn't count though. So like you could still go somewhere else. I mean, that's what Anasicki's doing. I mean, that's what EJ Anasicki's doing. He was a grad transfer and he's still going to use his year of eligibility.
Yeah, it said basically, like one AFC scout said, it's a shame because I think people see his talent and they see the potential. There has just been some decision-making along the road that makes you question some maturity there from that position. And it's basically referencing, you know, just the whole debacle of transferring to Georgia, opting out, bad Senior Bowl performance, just...
Him opting out from Georgia is weird. He should have used. Did he use COVID as an excuse? I guess maybe he did. Like
he did.
So then, why is that like holding against him if he's using COVID as the excuse?
Because
is it just because he looks like he got beat out? Because
that's what they're saying.
I think he was just like, okay, I'm trying to save face here because I got beat out. And
how did he get beat out by Stetson Bennett?
Exactly.
No,
that's how bad he is.
It was DeJuan Mathis.
Yeah. That's how bad he is. I think. I don't know.
How did he get beat out by those guys? Which, I mean, if you're him and you get beat out by those guys, I mean. So I guess the scouts are trying to put themselves in his headspace and say he was embarrassed because he got beat out and he didn't want to get exposed for being bad, so he quit, basically. Not because of COVID, but just because he was embarrassed. Which, I don't know if that's fair or not.
I mean, they would have liked better tape on him. Like, there's a couple scouts in there that say, like, yeah, the Wake Forest tape was no good. Lots of questionable makeup of the kid. He goes to Georgia, gets beat out, leaves the team. Then the Senior Bowl wasn't very good.
Yeah.
So.
Where were you guys at last year when you guys were calling him a first-round pick and a Heisman contender?
Yeah, I'll blame that on the media there. I'll say the scouts probably hadn't ranked him that high, but
the mock drafts had him as a first-round pick. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the media does that, but you would think, like...
They have some sort of...
Scouting insider, background if you're writing mock drafts for big websites, I mean...
Yeah, you would hope so.
But sure. So about Trevor Lawrence, one AFC scout says his adversity is the expectations. He can't have a bad day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been, like, anointed since, like, you know.
To his credit, he's almost too good to be true of a kid. There are not a lot of adults in our league or any walk of life that can handle the spotlight that kid's been under, and he's kind of embraced it. This guy's been told how great he is. This guy's had those expectations coming in, which was a different kind of pressure, and he lived up to it. Which I do think is true of Trevor Lawrence, like we talked about yesterday, or maybe the day before. You know, he's been the number one pick basically since his sophomore year of high school.
Yeah.
He's been the number one high school player, he's the number one college player, and now he's going to be set, you know, to be the number one draft pick. And he hasn't really had any missteps at all.
Yeah.
He's kind of LeBron James in that sense. Now, again, like, he has a long way to go before he's LeBron James, but, like, he's LeBron James because I don't know how many athletes we've had since then that have been number one throughout everything, right?
Yeah, no, I can't really think of any off the top of my head.
I mean, you look at other, you know, NFL first-round picks, like, I can't remember any of them being, like, you know, the man all the way throughout. I mean, sure, Clowney or whatever, but, like, he's not in the same microscope.
Not since LeBron. I mean, you could probably make an argument for Peyton, but that was before LeBron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Peyton was that guy all the way through as well. That is correct. Although Peyton didn't get to campus and, like, have the starting job given to him.
Yeah.
It was kind of an injury that, like, set that up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you could – two injuries pretty much, right? Yeah.
I was going to say, is that just not the social media exposure, though, for Trevor Lawrence? Like, you see him on the clips of overtime or whatever he's doing, the elite camps or whatever he's throwing out there.
But, I mean, I feel like we've always kind of – I mean, at least since the last, like, 15 years, I feel like we've kind of known, like, the prodigies. Like, they get written about pretty early. Like, I mean, even back then before the social media stuff, you heard of these guys before. Like,
for
Social media wasn't around LeBron, and we knew about LeBron.
Yeah. It amplifies it, but yeah, you did hear about it.
Like,
for
2001, there was no, like, MySpace or anything.
Yeah.
It was just,
well, I mean,
like, we knew LeBron.
Basketball's a lot different, though, right? Just, you know, a face to a name
and
everything.
And, like, you grow into your body. Like, you know, LeBron was, as big as he was as a sophomore in high school or whatever. Like, you could see it. Like, whereas some of these quarterbacks aren't necessarily physical specimens like that. And, like, they hit growth spurts. They're not 6 foot eight. Like, you can grow out of being a quarterback more so than you know, you have more of a chance, I guess, of that than being the same size from your sophomore year all the way through for these guys. I don't know. Yeah, but, I mean, like, if you look back, there haven't really been any NBA players like that either. That's been, like, the man at all the stops and then come in and lived up to it.
Yeah,
like, maybe Derrick Rose.
Maybe Zion a little bit.
Well, Zion was the number three or number four recruit in his own class. Like, he was the afterthought, at least behind R.J. Barrett, like, in that Duke class. Like, obviously, like, famous. But,
yeah,
like,
he was known for his, like, highlight plays.
Yeah, no one knew.
A little different.
No one thought he could play basketball. They thought he was just, like, going to be out there dunking.
Yeah.
Is that true? I feel like a lot of people thought he was going to be pretty great.
I mean, all
just
you were seeing highlight-wise was just him throwing it down.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, the thing is, when you're throwing it down, like, he was and jumping, and he was as big as he was. Like, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah,
that,
but when he was playing, go back and look at the guys he was playing in high school. He was playing, like, he was playing, like, the smallest level, like, South Carolina basketball, like, where didn't his school have, like, 100 people in it or something crazy like that? Wasn't he playing, like, the very lowest level?
I think so, yeah. I don't think he was playing, like, a crazy
it was Spartanburg Day.
Yeah, I guess he played, like smallest classification.
I'm pretty sure it's a private school, but it's like a small classification.
I remember the clip of him getting guarded by, like a 5'8" guy that was just there, like, trying to get in his face and, like, clap and, like,
clapping.
He's
clapping in his face.
No, there's definitely questions about Zion, like, if he could shoot a shot outside of 4 feet.
Yeah, I agree with that. But again, just the size and athleticism, you just kind of knew, like, hey, this guy's probably going to be something special in the NBA. Like,
right, but again, he was not the number one pick coming into college. He was not the number one player in his class. I'm not saying he wasn't famous or, you know, that people knew he wasn't going to be a pro. Like, of course they did. But I'm just saying he wasn't Trevor Lawrence, where we said from his freshman or sophomore year, like, hey, this is the guy. And Zion didn't win a national championship, and Zion barely played his freshman year of college. I mean, he blew that shoe out and hurt his foot and, you know, missed a bit of time.
Yep.
But sure, Zion also hasn't, I wouldn't say.
Kyrie was close. I would say Kyrie was kind of close. I think he was a number one recruit coming into Duke, and he was big time.
Yeah, he was.
Okay. Well, I would say Kyrie hasn't handled it as well either.
Yeah,
like, I mean, I think the thing has kind of gotten to Kyrie, but sure.
Very true.
So I do think we need to give Trevor Lawrence credit for that so far.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe his approach that got people so mad from the Sports Illustrated clip was kind of him, you know, explaining all that. Like, hey, you know, I've dealt with all this stuff before. It's just kind of
worried about it. He's like, it's just another day.
Like, I'm just going to be – I don't have a chip on my shoulder because
– yeah, there's no reason to.
I don't need it. Yeah, also don't need it.
There's some good quotes about him in here. Like, there's an NFC scout that was like, Trevor Lawrence is a really good player, NFC coordinator. He said, I don't know if he's a generational talent like people are saying. an AFC quarterbacks coach said if you didn't take him in your Jacksonville and it turned out that he was a perennial Pro Bowler, then you'll never live it down. They have to take him. I think the intangibles are there. He can throw the ball, but he does not have unique, rare playmaking ability.
Yeah, they talk about, you know, his a little hitch in his release. He'll throw some balls into coverage, has a little bit lower of a release, blah, blah. Like, those are the things I was talking about yesterday when I was like, you know, they straight up said, like, he's not a slam dunk type like Andrew Luck, which is kind of what I was getting at. Like, I do think he's the number one quarterback. And like they said, if you're Jacksonville, you do have to take Trevor Lawrence because you just can't pass on Trevor Lawrence. Like, it's kind of like, the Blazers were in a similar situation, you know, when it was between, like, Durant and Odin. Like, sucks. You might have liked Kevin Durant more, but Kevin Durant was, like, a skinny, lanky, 6'9" guy that, you know, maybe had a little bit more of a higher ceiling. But you see Greg Odin, who just has every, like, measurable you want, is athletic, can block shots, can dunk, was a, you know, a physical specimen.
Yep.
You had to take him simply because that's the guy that you have been building basketball teams around forever.
And if you miss on that, and he was great, you just look like the worst.
Like, no one's going to fault you for taking Greg Oden first. Like, even though, like, he got hurt, and his body gave out on him, and Kevin Durant has turned into one of the 15 best players of all time, no one looks back and blames him for taking him.
Yep.
Kind of the same way, like, I mean, really, no one blames, you never really hear Houston get brought up, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of the 84 draft, them taking Hakeem over Jordan. Yeah. We just make fun of the Blazers for taking Sam Bowie, who was like a stiff, you know, big, tall, white guy. But Hakeem, they're like, oh, yeah, no, we see it.
Yeah.
Dominant center, has proven it, was great in college. And, you know, he had a good, you know, a great NBA career. So no one's like, yeah, Houston, you really should have taken Jordan. It's just always like, oh, the Blazers, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And Hakeem was already in Houston. Right. I mean,
Yeah.
It was perfect fit.
But I'm saying, like, as great, you know, Jordan, many people think is the greatest of all time. No one even blames Houston for taking the center, who, again, was a Hall of Famer and was great. But Scott Kidd, no, we get it, because this is the guy you build teams around. That's how Trevor Lawrence is. Like, Zach Wilson might be better than Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Urban Meyer might like Zach Wilson better, but, buddy, you can't take him.
Yep. Yeah, like, somebody, the same, like, scouts said that Burrow would be the pick 100 times out of 100 over Lawrence, for some context on, you know, kind of how people feel about him.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he said.
That's interesting.
He said, if I'm comparing last year to this year, Joe Burrow is picked over Trevor Lawrence 100 times out of 100.
I don't know about that. 100 times out of 100?
Now, I mean, like, if who was saying this? AFC quarterbacks coach?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that, like, 100 people. He's saying he would take him 100 times out of 100. I don't think that's a
consensus.
Yeah, like, I think there are plenty of teams that look at Trevor Lawrence and say they would rather have him than Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, Joe Burrow's obviously really good, too. And Joe Burrow had a better college season than Trevor Lawrence ever did. I would say Trevor Lawrence is probably faster than Joe Burrow, but Joe Burrow's a good runner, too. I mean, he's athletic.
He's mobile. Also, Burrow won the head-to-head and looked a lot better in the head-to-head. That was another thing, because you brought this up the other day. It says what has given people pause also are probably the two college football games that he lost, the one to Burrow in the LSU game, and then, of course, the one to Ohio State, where he was not at his best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I mean, two career losses as a starter is hard to ignore a little bit. So everybody has a bad game every once in a while. So I think people aren't going to completely fault him for that, especially since he's won the title.
Well, see, I was about to say the national championship where he was just going crazy. I mean, that kind of helps his resume a lot as well.
Yep. But even when you get to the Zach Wilson stuff, one guy said there was a scout that said he'd have a hard time not taking him over Lawrence if he was in the position.
Right. I mean, like, I think we've had a couple people saying that. Now, I don't think that's the, you know, the majority of people, obviously.
Yeah, another Lawrence quarterback coach, you know.
Kind of a slam dunk, number one pick. But, yeah, Zach Wilson might be better than Trevor Lawrence.
They really like his, like, playmaking ability and, like, his, you know, just, like, unique. You know, it's the Mahomes effect. People like the sidearm, flick of the wrist stuff. And
you can't take a BYU quarterback that didn't play the same schedule over Trevor Lawrence.
And the biggest issue they've talked about with his with Wilson, too, is his durability. Like, he has a long injury history. He's only 6'2", 214. People are talking about his frame's really slender, and they, like, mentioned, like one college scouting director said, he's got thin shoulders, he's got a thin waist. You get a couple of Tremaine Edmonds and Dante Hightower's in your beep, and you ain't lasting long. So that's kind of some people's take on Wilson. But
yeah, I mean, he's been banged up. He's had injury history.
Yeah, long injury history. And somebody was like, yeah, if you watch the tape where he's struggling through injuries in 2019, you're not impressed. But you watch him this year, and he's just bleeping, ripping it everywhere. He's smart as bleep. He's going to work. He's going to complete. He's really talented. It's just a matter of how long that story can play out and not rub some people the wrong way.
Wilson might be better than Lawrence. Wilson might also suck. Mm-hmm. He might be banged up. Like, for the talks about, you know, Devonta Smith's frame and his size, like, I mean, Zach Wilson's not a big guy.
Yeah.
Also, playmaker. We keep acting like he's so much better of a playmaker than Lawrence. Like, that's his one thing Wilson's got. We're forgetting, like, Trevor Lawrence is a really good runner. Like, he had that, 100 yards? Had that huge rushing game in the playoff game against Ohio State a couple years ago? Like, let's not forget that.
I think they're just kind of referencing more of the just, like, you know, pocket breaks down, you're scrambling around, and then, you make a big, long throw, you know.
Lawrence's offensive line didn't break down too many times on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they, you know, didn't play the toughest schedule, and they have really pretty talented good players. Offensive line. Yeah, like, he didn't have to necessarily make a lot of throws from a dirty pocket or, you know, running for his life.
That's kind of the takes they had on Mac Jones in here, too. Just like, he never had a pocket that was really breaking down. He always had clean pockets, throwing to some great talent. You know, that's kind of the take on Mac Jones as well. And it seems like they a lot of these scouts do think that he's a real good shot to go to the 49ers just because he fits everything Shanahan, you know, like, looks for in a quarterback.
I get that, and I keep hearing that. And it just makes me question, like, what the hell are you looking for a quarterback? Kyle Shanahan. Who is your ideal quarterback? Like, Kirk Cousins is like your...
They said quick processing and accuracy is the trait that they think matches is an exact fit for what they do.
I think everyone wants accuracy.
Yeah. Yeah. But then at the same time, you have the scouts that are like, there's no denying... they're like... Max Bama tape is really, really good. There's no denying that, a college scouting director said. But you watch him in Mobile, where the Senior Bowl is, obviously. This doesn't really feel like a big, big, big-time guy. You trade all that bleep for him? And that's the other question on the end of the spectrum for the 49ers. But they also had people in here quoting, saying, like, if you had to throw them all in the NFL game right now, they think Mac Jones is the most, like, ready to play.
Is that because of Alabama? Is that because they think, like, Nick Saban's got him the most prepared and the smartest to, like, go? Because things are pretty simple at Alabama. Like,
they think the quick processing, which I'm not really sure where they're getting that from. I don't think he had to make a ton of reads.
Well, I mean, I think it's because his first read was always open. Yeah. Like, I mean,
3-step drop, throw it up, like, throw it deep.
I think he has very quick processing. Hey, Devonta Smith's going to be open on the slant. I'm going to throw it to him in 2 seconds. Like, I don't understand the quick processing. Now, maybe guys are getting in there and they're like, they're getting on the whiteboard, right? And, like, you know, you saw Gruden's quarterback camps before, you know, he went back to Vegas/Oakland. And, you know, he's throwing things at quarterbacks like, hey, scheme this up, or hey, here's what happens. Yeah. The corner's coming here. Where are you going on this play? Blah, blah, blah. And, like, maybe he's just crushing that for teams in there. I don't know. We don't get to see that. But I don't know how you, like, watch Alabama and think this guy's a quick processor because he had, you know, his first read was always open. Like, Devonta Smith was literally – always open.
Did you know Mac Jones had off-the-field issues? I had no idea until I read this article.
No, I didn't know anything about Mac Jones and any off-the-field issues, which is kind of a testament to maybe it's good to be white.
Yeah, they claim his DUI was well-publicized in 2017, but I don't remember ever hearing about it.
Well-publicized?
Yeah.
Why would it be well-publicized in 2017? He was a 3-star recruit at Alabama.
Exactly. That's why I was like, I don't know what was...
And I haven't seen anybody bring that up.
And apparently he had trouble controlling anger issues early in his Bama career, and he had to work on that as well. I was like, I've never heard any of this. Nobody's even mentioned these things.
I mean, there's a Saturday Down South article about it, you know, when it happened 3 years ago.
Hmm. But, yeah, I don't remember ever seeing it, but...
He got a DUI that was a result of a car accident.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which I feel is a little bit higher than just like getting pulled over.
Yeah,
I don't know. He got suspended from Saturday's game against LSU, and we'll take further actions, evaluate what's going to happen. There are certain responsibilities that go along with being an Alabama player to get that privilege. Blah blah. So, I mean, it was written about.
Okay. Yeah, they said one guy said take one of these guys starting at. Game tomorrow in the NFL, he's the most ready, an NFC quarterback coach said, but he's right up against the ceiling to me, where those other guys, if they can progress, you're talking about Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, they're going to be dangerous dudes.
Now, I will say that, you know, we have a precedent that, you know, I don't think NFL teams really care if you have a run-in with the cops.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In your college career, I mean, like, we all saw the clip of Baker Mayfield getting tackled
yep.
by the police, and he went number one. So, like, as long as you're not, like, killing anybody, like, I mean, the, you know, Lael Collins, of course, he went undrafted because he got brought up in relation to a murder of his ex-girlfriend, like, 2 days before the draft or, like, a week before the draft, whenever. Like, he got railroaded by that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ultimately, it worked out. He got to go to the Cowboys and was on a really good offensive line, and he got paid pretty quickly as an undrafted, you know, free agent.
Yeah.
So I'd say it worked out for him. Tyrann Mathieu, of course, he had some weed issues and had been arrested, and, you know, they thought maybe he was running a drug ring out of, like, his grandma's house or out of his apartment or something crazy like that. His grandma's house, I think that would be, that was, what's his name? Bowden, right? Bowden?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't Lynn Bowden have, like, didn't he have, like, his...
Yeah, they
so weird about that.
Like, 10 people got arrested at his grandma's house or something.
The one from Kentucky,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm suspicious of, like, them running a drug game. So, sorry to Tyrann Mathieu. I didn't mean to say that. I think his was just, like, his apartment they were watching, and that's kind of why he got kicked out of LSU. So he fell. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, like, we don't really care if you've had a little drinking incidents in your past.
I think my favorite quote in this whole article is when they're talking about Sam Ehlinger, and he said, he can throw the bleep out of an RPO slant, I'll tell you that. If you need him to complete an 18-yard dig route, I have no idea because it's not on tape.
Wow.
So Sam Ehlinger, he's in the draft, I guess.
Round 7 or priority free agent.
Apparently. What was his rank?
Right there,
9 or 10?
Jamie Newman.
11.
11,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Right there with Jamie Newman.
Yep.
Wow.
Hour 1 of the books, hour 2 on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines. Let's talk sports. It's Fan Run Radio.